Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again. Oh, baby. I have no voice, bro. I went out last night. I have no voice. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, a podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I'm your host. The host. With the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
Woo! AKA the funniest podcaster in the motherfucking universe. If you turn off my podcast, I'll fucking kill you. AKA the modern day goof and spoof Haraja, coming at you like Cleopatra, baby, baby.
Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba, 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 gabba,
gabba, gabba. This girl, she's fine. Damn! She's fine, folks.
I'm not a perfect person.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yo, Dana's badass, man. Yo, Dana's badass, man.
That is Nick Tulo. When he was watching the Royal Rumble, talking about how he thought Dana Brooke was so badass, man.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
Yo, Dana. No, that was the
Dana's.
Bad one.
Dana's badass, man.
Dana is badass, man.
Yo, Dana's badass, man.
Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling. What is up, everybody? We're having a great time. We're feeling spicy. We're feeling saucy. We're talking about the world of wrestling tossies. I had nothing, folks. I had nothing.
You didn't have to try to make it rhyme, I don't think.
I had to, though, because, you know, with my deep improv training, I will always jump on the grenade.
Record deepness.
In terms of wetness. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Get access to our bonus episodes. By the way, this is our main episode this week, because Dynamite moved. There was a whole shift in programming last week. Fucked up our whole bonus schedule.
Yeah, but we're fluid, man. We're like
I know.
We're energy.
We just have to. It's fine. I gotta stop trying to accommodate wrestling because it's not accommodating me. Okay. There's so much of it.
That's a breakthrough. Yes.
Thank you. Hold on. I just had a big moment, everybody. I need to stop accommodating wrestling because wrestling is not accommodating me. Yes. I'm on my journey to self-improvement. Yeah. Right, I don't know. This feels borderline problematic.
It's right up there against it. It's right up there.
Yeah. I can't control what the soundboard does, though, folks. Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to the board. Was that offensive? Yeah, not looking good. It's not looking good. There's a storm coming, Annie. A little Star Wars reference for you folks out there. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. We'll have bonus episodes back next week. We record them on Thursdays so we can watch Dynamite and react after. So those come out Friday morning. So this will be your bonus episode for the week, but it's also your main episode. It comes out on Monday. Anyway, dope.
Right? You mean Wednesday? Doesn't Dynamite happen on Wednesday?
Yeah, but we record it after it on Thursday, and then the episode comes out on Friday morning.
Okay.
You don't like that?
I'll trust you. No, I just...
By the way, so part of the Patreon, we have a Discord where you could talk about wrestling. The Discord's awesome. $2 a month on the Patreon. You get access to our Discord server. If you don't use Discord, don't be scared. It's fucking great. Great conversations on there. A way better interface than Facebook. Very popular Discord. And then you get our bonus episodes for a couple more bucks a month. And then we have the Cows Zoom Thunderdome once a month. We watch a pay-per-view together, have a nice time. We will be doing one for Full Gear. That's 100%. And we'll not be doing one for Crown Jewel, though. Because it's like Thursday at 2 p.m., I think, or something.
Yeah, that's why.
People are going to be at work. Yeah. Not the blood money, folks.
What is that, November 13th?
Yeah. And anyway, let's get into it. So the live show in New York City, by the way. I'll have more details on that next week. So about exactly a month before. We're thinking about maybe switching the venue of that. So I need a little details, working around Mr. Dolph's schedule. So more details with that. Look in the Facebook group and you'll hear on here next week. Any of that. Okay. Anyway, let's talk about the world of pro wrestling here. I will say, I think I'm going to start with WWE. As a matter of fact, here.
Newman. All right.
Oh, yeah. The nasty ones in the house. You see him on the YouTube. By the way, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Comedians Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel.
That's literally free. You hear me. I am currently. Hang on a second. My Siri is listening. I'm not talking to you.
Oh, my God.
Fucking Christ. The fucking Skynet.
I don't even use Siri.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Folks, you see how Apple is hurting the podcast game?
Holy fuck. Anyway.
All right, Newman, you lost your intro. I went to SmackDown on Friday.
What? Okay, I'm just kidding.
I went to SmackDown on Friday.
How was that?
I went to SmackDown on Friday.
Oh, good for you.
Yo, so kind of crazy, right? Because we're talking a lot about WWE, the landscape of WWE wrestling in the new AEW era of wrestling, right?
Which is, let's be honest, a new golden age of wrestling.
Many are saying. I think it's interesting to say it's like a golden era of wrestling. I think what really dawned on me this week, and it sounds obvious, but it's and I think that it's been said kind of recklessly, but I did it. When I was going to SmackDown, I was like, all right, I'm not that pumped for SmackDown, right? You know, because I've been – first off, it was happening Friday night, which was like the Super Rampage with the Suzuki match, you know. And so it wasn't the hot show of the Friday night, you know.
Right.
But Dolph got me very good seats, very good seats. Second row, many are saying.
Oh, wow.
And so anyway, I went with someone to the show who y'all know, and she had never been to a WWE show before, and so I was like, well, WWE, you know, you put it in that perspective, and you're like, oh well, if you've never been to a WWE show, and it's a SmackDown, not a house show, it's got the full everything, the full pyro, the whole shebang, you know. Right. That makes me excited to go, you know, because just to see somebody see it, because they put on such a great fucking show. The production value is so high, you know.
Prior to that, right, this person's only experience with live wrestling was PWG, right?
Yeah.
So then to see that and then to see like that scale is cool.
I don't know why it's. Let's just keep it like that. This person, just for the goof.
Person.
But I don't know why that's what. I have no idea what happened.
No, well, now we can't say.
Yeah, now we can't say. By the way, if you could see, if you go in the Facebook group, there's a picture. But anyway, irrelevant, irregardless, iridescent.
And irresponsible.
And irresponsible, many are saying.
The four eyes.
The four eyes. No, so she had been to PWG, which is a great fucking time.
Yeah.
But, okay, my point is really, I was like, how does WWE fit? And, you know, we're thinking about doing some, we're doing some changes with the show and stuff that we'll be announcing and whatnot. And I was thinking about, like, how does WWE fit within the landscape of my professional wrestling watching, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, like, this is not all I do, right? Like, I mean, I also have other creative outlets, you know? And I also like to watch things that are not wrestling as well. Not sports. Those are fucking for D-bags. I absolutely hate sports. They're not exactly my thing. So, you know.
Right.
I don't know where that drop is. Oh, that one moves.
Sports aren't exactly my thing, so.
But I'm like, yo, so with WWE, there's always going to be this connection to WWE where I'm like, hey, yeah, it's like, yeah, so AEW is obviously the more popular thing, but WWE is still like WWE.
Right.
But WWE, like, right now, is really proving to be heading in a way where their product is not at all geared towards my demo, you know?
Right.
And I have to kind of just like accept it. And
What is the demo that you feel like they're geared towards?
And also, I mean, it's been a PG show for a long time, obviously, so that's not a surprise. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we've been for a long time putting up with a lot of WWE being like below our intelligence level, and also below intelligence level is not what I mean, but like being more geared to a more, you know, a younger audience. And having that element of it where you're like, you have a show where it's not at all that, and the talent roster is that deep.
Mm-hmm.
I think now what you've done actually is, I think the crowds in WWE, whereas before I was like, oh, it's the same crowds watching both shows.
Yeah.
I think that as we go forward, it's actually going to be two different audiences entirely.
Right. Right.
You know what
like
I mean?
A more, like a more casual mainstream audience versus smarks.
I think it'll just be like, more for kids and families who are right. Like, that's what wrestling is.
Right.
And then the, right, exactly you're saying, the smarks will just be watching only AEW.
Right.
And I think the talent in WWE who are smarkier talents, like Malachi or whatever. No, Malachi's not the best example because I think he is a good example, but he could do either, I think.
Yes.
But your smarkier talents like Adam Cole.
Right.
Will just... being AEW, it's kind of automatically. So you'll have more of this outlet for the indie scene. Now, I know this sounds like kind of obvious, but I really had the shift of like, we all watch both. It dawned on me this week.
Right.
And especially being at SmackDown that actually I think we're headed into an era of two different genres of wrestling, which is fucking cool.
Yeah.
Now, what blows about that is that, like, talents like a Seth Rollins, who could probably thrive in both companies, or AJ Styles, right, who could thrive in both companies.
Mm-hmm.
Although, what I would argue that Randy Orton could thrive in both companies as well. You know what I mean? Even though he's not used to putting on the style of match, that fast-paced match that they do over at AEW, you know?
Yeah, but he would be fine.
But those talents will know I'm better suited over there and I can get paid over there, you know, the same. So it's like, you know, you'll know if you're Adam Cole, you're like, I'm going to not look. I'm not going to look small over there. So I think that actually the Venn diagram of viewers, I wish I knew.
Yeah.
Is going to be. Not the same people. I think people are going to choose.
I actually think I just had this thought. I actually think that somebody like a Randy Orton going. This is a near impossibility that Randy Orton would ever go to AEW. But I have the weird feeling that if he did, it would be something akin to when like Scott Hall and then went to like WCW, in that it sort of was the death knell for WCW in terms of like their trajectory to like win the Monday Night Wars or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Because it would like sort of like, it kind of spelled WCW out as like a place where, oh, just everybody. It's more about just buying the talent and trying to drain the life out of WWE than it is about like putting on a good product. And then WWE came out on top there because it was like a bad business plan.
Right.
And so like I just went off on like a weird tangent in my head. It was like, wow, if Randy Orton did go to AEW, it would appear to be cool, but would probably mean. It would have it would probably mean that it was AEW was on its way out,
right? You think they would sign Randy?
Yes,
they would just have to, right?
Think about how big of a moment that would be.
I feel like there's a line though, and it's Braun Strowman is the perfect example of that line.
The Braun Strowman line,
right? Like,
yeah,
yeah. The Braun Strowman line is where you're like, hey. You have to just show that like we don't just take anybody from WWE and that we have a different style of wrestling and a different type of brand, you know?
Right, yeah.
And Braun is like the perfect guy where like you don't sign him.
No.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you're like, he's such a WWE type, you know?
Right. And I don't feel like he would, even
like a Ryback,
I can tell,
right?
Right. I can tell, or I at least am just assuming that like, you could just tell that like, Braun Strowman is not somebody who would like fit in like backstage or whatever, or like as part of the, like the culture of what they're trying to do. Like it's kind of, you can just like smell it. Like it seems true.
The show, it's not even, those style of matches aren't even like on the show. They don't really have the first guy they're going to have like that will be Bray, but are they saying Bray signed with Impact?
That's what the dirts are saying. because he's going with, he wants to be with Braun Strowman. But it's like, I mean, you're hitching your wagon to him?
Yeah. Well, the wrestlers are starting to think, because they're starting to probably be like, AEW's getting a little crowded, you know?
Yeah, right.
So they're starting to put it together, but...
And it's also, too, it's like, if I work for Impact, it's not out of the question that I also appear on AEW from time to time.
Right. Like, once you're, as long as you're not in WWE, Forbidden Door is open, folks.
Right.
So, yeah. Now, anyway, let's talk a little bit about, I'll talk about SmackDown first. So, first of all, my experience against SmackDown. I got SmackDown so late. The traffic getting to Ontario was, that's where, like, it was. It's like 40 miles away. It took me, like, 3 hours, literally.
Yeah.
So, I showed up, like, the show was, and I was so lucky it was a supersized SmackDown. The show was almost over if it was the regular length. Like, it was crazy. I showed up as Becky and Sasha match was starting, which is, like, the last match of the night. It was that, and then I saw the Roman Brock contract signing.
Right.
But then I got to watch Tribute to the Troops, and I got to watch Dolph Wrestler, so that was fun. And so it was fun. I had a good time.
Oh, good. I was wondering if you had gotten to see Tribute to the Troops.
Yeah,
I know how big of a fan of the Troops you are.
I like the Troops. Don't fuck it. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, so I saw the Tribute to the Troops. But yeah, so... But Becky and Sasha put on a fucking killer match, and it was like, oh, wow, like the walk-in crowd was fucking hot, and the entrances were dope, and you remember, like, yeah, WWE, still WWE, guys. Like, right. Don't be too smarky to understand that WWE is still WWE, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it will level out at some point, you know what I mean? And we'll probably be watching both, even though you'll be paying attention more to AEW, I believe, in the next... 4-5 years at least, you know what I'm saying?
In a couple months when the Rumble happens, like, of course I'm gonna watch that, and
right,
like, you know,
the road to WrestleMania will always be paved with us watching, you know what I mean? But it is interesting on how we cover wrestling on the show now, because I'm like, oh man, like, whew, what are our listeners watching, you know what I mean? Like, what, like, and I got the feeling you're mostly AEW marks at this point. I mean, you're still popping in with the AWE, and I know it's there's still a lot of good shit going on there, but
it just seems like there's more meat on the, like, if to get meta about it, like, if this is the content that we're making is about talking about stuff that happens, like, stuff has to be happening, right? And so, like, and it just feels like in AEW there's more meat on the bones to pick at than there is with WWE at the moment.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, let's jump over to AEW. The Becky Sasha was dope. I mean, they're geared up for Saudi Arabia show, which, by the way, titles do change hands over there. Like, it is a real show, the Crown Jewel, you know?
Yeah.
Some of it's, you know, Goldberg versus Bobby Lashley. Like, some of it's that, you know?
Right.
Some of it's, like, high-profile filler, you know what I mean? But ultimately... You know, it's very possible. I mean, Big E will retain against Drew, and Roman will retain against, I mean, I don't know, Brock could always win the title, right?
Yeah.
could always win the title, so, you know,
I feel like it would maybe be a good time
Becky will
for him to win the title. You know?
I know.
Roman's had a long enough, like, we get it, right? And I don't think it would hurt. You could always lose to Brock Lesnar, like, it's fine. And plus, you know, Brock's one of my guys, so wouldn't mind it.
I think that Brock's contract is so little appearances that I don't think he's winning any titles.
Yeah, that's
you know
true.
What I mean?
That's true.
I think it's staying on Roman, is from what I'm reading. I think they said he's going away for a while after.
Right.
Crown Jewel, I already read it. But anyway, let's go. Let's you know, I don't know, whatever. Let's hop over to AEW, because that's where the shit's happening that I care about right now mostly. And Hangman Page is where I want to begin.
Okay.
Cut his promo on Dynamite, and let's just give props to Mr. Hangman Page. So we got our answer about what's happening, which is at Full Gear. It's going to be Hangman versus Kenny. At that pay-per-view. So they're just kind of subverting the Daniel Bryan thing for now, you know?
Right.
props to, I thought this is the promo of his career, Hangman Page. He absolutely did his best work on this promo. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to say killed it. He definitely did kill it. It's definitely a well-written promo. The beats of this promo are very good because he's acknowledging, like, very good.
Yeah, that was a weird, why'd you say it like that?
I have no idea. But the beats of this promo were really nicely written, like him just saying, like, oh, when I came back, I put it all on the line. And he was like, here's what the definition of cowboy shit is. That's what I like. It's like, here's the cowboy shit. The cowboy shit. He's like, I've been hearing you chant cowboy shit. You know, I hear it. He's like, what is cowboy shit, folks? And he was like, what it is coming in here and saying I'm going to win against Jericho when I first came, you know, and like all my defeats. You know what I mean? And so he's like, so he's had he acknowledged his whole loss run for that like full year. Remember, he was like getting drunk and all that.
Right.
And then now he's like, cowboy shit is like taking off to like have a son when I'm in the hottest streak of my career, you know?
Yeah, right.
And he says that, and that's always the nice thing in WWE. There's always like that nice work in AEW, the work shoot element of it. Like, they acknowledge, like, we know why he was gone. So that's fine. We don't need to fuck with that. That was great. And so he's going to wrestle Kenny. And I bet he wins. I think he's going to win the title. Is what I think that they're going to do. I think he's hot right now. I think they're not going to ice him, and that's what I felt. You could feel this promo. He was so well prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
He was so fluid on the microphone. He doesn't like sound awesome or cool. He's not like a really great promo, you know, not a really like captivating promo.
Right.
But in terms of just shoot realness and him being over and him delivering, this was a very good segment for him. Him acknowledging like all his losses, I think it really worked, and now it's his moment. He can't lose. He was like, you know, I lost some friends, and he was acknowledging like the actual emotional hard part of like losing the Elite as his friends and finding new friends in the Dark Order. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was all like pretty fucking good and slick and fluid, and part of what people like about AEW, a lot of care in what they're doing there. So this match is going to be very hype. It's a very good main event for Full Gear, and it is getting over their homegrown talent, the Cowboy, which is they've successfully created a star here, you know?
Yeah.
Pretty fucking cool.
A lone star.
Yeah. And moving on.
To Malakai Black.
Did you want to go to Malakai? All right, I was going to jump something else, but let's go to Malakai. Because Malakai opened Dynamite, right?
Holy yes.
I was going to go to Daniel Bryan Suzuki, but it's fine. We'll go to because Daniel Bryan Suzuki is one of those things. It's like, what do you say, right? Ruled. Match ruled.
It's we can even touch on. Yeah, we'll go there first.
Sometimes something is so good. When something's good that way, there's nothing to say. You just go like, hey, that fucking ruled. It was free on YouTube. You know, Tony Khan continuously being the man, you know, and delivering dream matches, stealing the true diehard smart wrestling fan, converting them to AEW fans. You know what I mean?
Right.
Telling you there was a product that was not fulfilling your needs. And I am the forbidden door. I am the forbidden fruit. Eat me.
Right.
You know, eat my ass.
Forbidden fruit. Eat me. That's a great gimmick.
Yeah.
The forbidden fruit.
Malakai.
I'll show you the truth. Yeah. So speaking of, I mean, come on. Like, what? I mean, this is another one where it's like, what can be said? Everything he does, I love. That arm drag was crazy. He kicked. He turned in midair.
Yeah.
And did like an arm drag. I'm going down like a mark dead end. This is everything.
Do it. Go mark out, bro. Marking out's great.
This guy gets it. Every level. He is just, I mean, the entrance, the look, the style.
So he opened up Dynamite, and the camera work, it's kind of crazy. It's way more minimalist than his WWE entrances. And the music, the song is less like classic wrestling catchy. But his entrance now, I like more somehow. I think it is so much more authentically what he's trying to do. It's legitimately scary. It looks like a fucking awesome cover of a comic book drawing. Right. You know, it looks sick. He and he stands there. The music that he has is so fucking haunting. That like,
you know
dude
what I
metal,
love?
Like,
you know what I love?
Is very good. Like,
he comes out with the lights, right?
Yeah.
And then the lights go out.
Yeah.
And then he's on the turnbuckle when they come back on, and he's like doing that like look around thing. I love that. I also love, and he did this as Aleister Black too, and I'm sure it has, because knowing the level of thought that he puts into it, I'm sure it has something, that it's intentional. So he'll, when he sits in the middle of the ring, he like looks around as though he's like, the person who sat down is just like the body, and then the spirit comes in and is like looking around like, oh, where am I? Oh, right. I'm here to kill somebody.
Wow, you are marking out hard.
Bro.
You are marking out hard. This guy is so... I mean, Phil's the same way with him. You guys are all just... The second he enters, you guys are texting like...
Hard.
I want to fuck this man, essentially.
Yes, like, hard.
Yeah.
Lights go out.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
6 to midnight.
6 to midnight. I agree. It's perfect... theatrical like wrestling shit. I mean, you were all sucker for the Spooky Boys, you know. Mm-hmm. We love a good Spooky Boy, don't we, folks? And he encapsulates that so well. The difference, the thing about what I love about those talents, you know, the Darbys and the Malachis, you know,
right,
is like their movesets perfectly encapsulate the gimmick. So you have like Malachi, who when he gives you that kick, it's like, oh, he is like Doomsday. And when you get that kick, like you've met your doom.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he is like the judge, jury, and executioner of your fate or something. Like, it's you buy into it. It's very cool. That's why I don't love the House of Black part of it, because I think it's a little Hogwarts for me.
You're crazy. I think
House of is a little Hogwarts.
He should call it just House Black.
Sure.
That's the adjustment.
It's a little Hogwarts, bro. It's a little
House Black. Not House of. House Black. Anyway.
I don't hate it.
Then it's more Game of Thrones if it's House Black. Anyway. Right. His finisher, I think, is called the Sin Eater now. Yeah. And it is the Stone Cold Stunner of our generation. It is like
interesting.
It can just, he can hit you with it no matter how beat up he is, and he always has enough gas for that move.
Yeah.
And you will not survive it.
It has the out of nowhere factor too.
Right.
So yes. Like, out of nowhereness.
Yeah,
maybe should we have? Should there be a rating scale for the
yes,
Black Mass?
Of course, there
Sin
should
Eater.
Be. Right.
Here's the thing. Yeah, it is that kick. Oh, I mean, I talked about it when Dolph was on the pod. The kick, pretty much, even when it doesn't look good, it's all good. Like he doesn't always connect, but he connects enough,
right.
And it's such a believable. Like it is. It has that like snap effect. So it's very you get exciting finishes with it. You know what I mean?
Because it is. It's like he can just hit you with it at any time.
And you're done.
And it's over.
You're never kicked. No one's kicking out of that thing ever.
No. Yeah.
Right.
So
it's great. It's absolutely excellent. It's so effective. It's such an effective, cool looking finish.
Yeah.
And even when he does it slow, it's great. Like when he like picks you up with his foot, right? That.
Right.
The dude's on absolute fire.
Right.
You know, there's just no real way around it. He's such a great high-level talent. And I do want to give props to the guy who's on one of my guys' watch list.
Yeah.
I think he needs 5 years to get there. But Dante Martin is superb talent.
Half of what made that match awesome was him. Right? And like,
kid's a mega athlete. He's literally...
OMGTW list?
Yes. He's on my OOMG. It comes out to watch list, right?
OOMGTW.
This guy, by the way, so they're putting him with Lio Rush, which is a nice move. They're going to be a tag team. I think that's a very cool tag team.
Lio
Rush, Dante Martin, those guys are going to wrestle like Lucha Bros and shit. They're going to put on classics. Young Bucks, great. And I love it being like, hey, we're going to become a tag team. Like actually acknowledging, like we're going to enter the tag division.
I loved that shot of Lio Rush when he eats the Sin Eater, and it just cuts to Lio Rush like,
Lio Rush
is just so
Lio Rush is fucking great.
He was so
Lio Rush is great. Lio Rush is the man. Lio Rush is Well, also what I love is that it was after a loss, right? So right. It's like they lost. Dante just lost a big match. And Leo's like, yo, listen, I'm money. I'll make you money. And that's why we're going to tag team. And you see them like fist, like now we're going to be a tag team.
Yeah,
just
great.
Like nice storytelling, right?
Yeah,
it's great. Like, and it's fucking simple. It's simple, but it's like actually showing care in your products. It's not just here's a segment, here's a segment, here's a segment. Right now, your talent, like, why are we talking so much about Dante Martin? I mean, he literally probably has a losing record for the whole year. He's not even in the contention.
He's not. He's 5-2.
Right. Okay. So, well, because that's another great thing they got going on there, which is like,
look at this. It's in action
Elevation
right now.
And Dark. Exactly.
It's in action.
But you have Elevation and Dark to prop people up, right? So Ruby Soho, I was thinking about her because she loses a big match against the Dentist, you know?
Right.
And then... But at the same time, has Elevation and Dark and Rampage matches to just build back up. Yeah. So she'll have one loss. It's a huge loss. But then you'll look, you're like, oh, she's back in the running, just like MMA. And then these talents don't squander in like no man's land. And then when they're pulled up to main event, you're like, wait, how? Like Big E lost the IC title at Mania and then kind of was like back with New Day, I think, a little bit, right? Yeah. And then like, I don't know. You know what I mean? So, like, to be honest, Big E entered at SmackDown, was not getting the response, you're the WWE champion, you need to be getting, you know?
Right. Well, because it didn't build, he obviously deserves it in like a smarky meta kind of way.
Right.
But they didn't build to it.
Right.
It just it happened.
Can we talk about Daniel Bryan for a second, folks?
Of course.
I mean, he's in insane shape right now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he you could tell he's 40. He's always talking about being 40. That's why I know he's 40.
Right.
And he's like, you know, he's like, I'm 40, and like, he's like, I want to, like, he knows, like, this is probably, like, close to the end for him. Not that close. He might be able to bang out another 5, you know?
Right.
But, no, you know, he knows he's, like, on borrowed time with his injuries and blah, blah, blah. And right now he's like, I'm just going to be throwing on classics. Like, I don't give a shit if it's on YouTube. I don't give a shit. I'm doing my dream matches. Right. And it is why Daniel Bryan is such a great talent. People give, like, I'm always arguing about Shebs about Daniel Bryan. It's like, I get he's not a traditionally great talent, meaning he doesn't have insane mic skills. He's not, like, huge, right? He's not like the sexiest.
Not to cut you off, but I would actually argue he is the ultimate traditional talent. Because
that's also, I see that as well.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Anyway, proceed.
I see that as well. That's also a great argument. This is why, you know what, this is Newman. This is that's why you are
someone you idolize.
But like, no, he's a wrestling purist, you know, in that sense as well. And, those guys are so fucking, when I watch, you know, so like, shit, man, we'll talk about I don't want to say mental health shit, but like on this podcast, one thing that's really hard is I don't think people realize when you are, I've had day jobs and I've had creative pursuits in my life, right? I've done both, you know?
Right.
I don't think people realize like how difficult it is. Like when you have a job and you hit those lulls, it doesn't matter. You got to go to the fucking job, right? And what happens? You get like a kick in the ass moment. You get like a bad performance review, or your boss calls you in and goes like, "Hey, you seem a little out of it lately." And then you go, "All right, fuck, I gotta go." You know what I mean? Like or something like that, right? But it doesn't matter because the job keeps going. I mean, you could get fired, you get another job. There's something when you're doing creative pursuits, right, where you need to really be on top of your shit, you know?
Right.
That I'll always look towards these wrestlers, how their passion for it, when you look like at a Daniel Bryan or like, oh, God, you know, or like a Malakai or these guys who, Ziggler, you know, who's like always fresh gear, always like there's never any quit in these dudes, you know? They're always on top of their shit. And I'm like, that's how you got to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something I get a lot from pro wrestling. Like even the times where you're like, oh shit, I'm like, oh, I don't have energy to do this thing on my list when I'm organizing my creative life, you know? And that's always things with the wrestlers. Cause so much of the shit they do is on them. Like wrestlers are, And I was talking to some, I was actually talking to some pro wrestlers last night, actually, like some WWE wrestlers. I won't drop any names because it's not my style. Okay? And they were saying, like, we're very humbled because we're not treated like NFL players and blah, 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 you know? Right. I mean, like, they have to get their own gear in order. Like, they can't, it's like, they have to recognize, like, hey, my gear needs to be freshened up. You know, my moveset needs to be freshened up. Like, they're not popping for this. Like, it's all on you, you know, to, like, make sure that you're staying in that. That's difficult, you know? That's hard because that's all on you. No one's going to fucking keep you in check on that. And you
right.
see, like,
no
the rest.
External accountability.
Exactly.
Right.
And you can, and a lot of wrestlers, you can coast on your catchphrase or blah, 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 you know? So it's kind of, a, you know, I don't know. I think it's on AEW, we see so much of it because they have so much of creative freedom. Like, Jon Moxley is an example of a guy who's like, feels like he's just living his best life out there. You know what I mean?
God. Yeah.
I mean, what he literally, Jon Moxley literally made millions of dollars in WWE probably, yeah. right? Or a million, you know?
He's such like a, like
such
he is
authentically himself.
Right. But he feels like he is pro wrestling.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's everywhere. He kind of fits. He's like multiple titles from multiple promotions. He's been in Japan. He has a, he is Mr. Pro Wrestling.
Exactly. And so he does not need to be doing death matches with Nick Gage. He does not need to be the GCW champion right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? He does not need to, like, I've seen close-ups of his back. Like, he's literally a father and a guy who's, like, made it, you know?
Right, right.
And also can go not in that way, but he recognizes, like, I love this. This is my passion. And so
right.
there's a lot of that happening. In WWE, I believe it to be happening in some capacity, but there's definitely a vibe that's like, you know, there is that fucking not like being yourself veneer, you know, that like Ruby Soho called out
right.
when she was like, people can sense that we're being our authentic selves. And it is fucking true. You know, it is what makes us vested in like a Malakai, because you know it's all him. And like, that's what's so exciting about Bray coming back. Because imagine Bray, who, by the way, was doing his own shit in WWE. I think he's one of the exceptions, you know?
Right.
But I mean, now the gloves are off for him. Like, what the fuck is he going to be up to? And he's already been teasing some stuff, right? On Twitter, yeah. He's saying, like, what is he saying? Like, went something.
It's like, I'll feed your birds for you or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something about feeding birds. Oh my God. Yeah. Let's talk about CM Punk for a second, folks.
Yeah.
all right. So, well, I'll just give this example first, then we'll see where we go with this. But during this FTR segment on Dynamite, where they're kind of dressed like, what were they called?
I don't know.
Like the Frog Twins or some shit.
Yeah. Why was CM Punk being so detached from that?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. What was his deal of being like, that's clearly FTR? It was like,
yeah, yeah. Are like, you shocked by this? Like,
he was like not selling the thing at all. I was like, and then you could tell.
It's
you
like,
you could tell, like, Shivani was like, you could tell him being like, oh, okay, that's how we're doing this.
Right. Okay. Imagine like him in the Attitude Era being like, hang on, JR, you don't actually think Kane is the Undertaker's brother, do you?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you think? You think that Paul Bearer is their dad?
Right.
I bet you think that Kane was burned alive when he was a kid too. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, he was totally selling out this segment and the reason that I knew it was trash is because, like, they had a timed segment where they do a double pull off of the mask, right? So it was definitely supposed to be a reveal, right?
Right.
So why be like, yeah, it's definitely FDR. This is stupid. He literally was like, this is stupid. It's FDR. You can see because they can't lucha wrestle. And you're like, well, this is kind of a cool idea for a segment where you start realizing, like, these guys are not luchas at all.
Right.
And they're wrestling for the AAA titles. And then they win the AAA titles, which is, like, kind of funny that FDR, who are not lucha at all.
Right.
That's kind of fun, you know?
Yeah.
But this is, you would never know that's what they were going for with this segment, right?
Right. Well, he did that too in the Malakai Black match when Malakai starts holding his stomach, and it was kind of like it was a different. He didn't quite sell it out, but he was like, I guess another way to look at it with the Lucha, you know, reveal was that he sort of was like overspelling out what was happening, and he did it again in Malakai Black when he's like clutching his stomach. He goes, and apropos of nothing, CM Punk goes, I wonder if this has to do anything to do with the Black Mist. And it's like, okay, I guess that's what.
Yeah, they're clearly just like, sending CM Punk out there, and then notes are on the table. He's clearly doing no prep. You know what I mean?
Says here this could have something to do with the Black Mist.
Well, because I don't even know if he's supposed to be like a commentator or not, right? They're just like, they're like, let's give people as much CM Punk like this live crowd, right? Like that live, they got no. I mean, they did on Rampage because they're in Miami for two nights, I believe, right? But that live crowd only just got to see CM Punk enter. Like, that's why he's there, right?
Right.
Just to be like, yeah, we saw CM Punk because he wasn't wrestling. They're definitely in that zone where it's like, if you don't give the crowd a CM Punk, they're definitely, like, bummed out.
Right.
So it's just, like, a lot of, like, cult of personality playing. But on commentary, it's not great work. It's not, like, you can't be selling out everything happening.
Borderline destructive.
Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what I was thinking? I think we should head on over to the meme corner. Phil, what do you say?
Yeah, let's go.
Phil, what do you say?
I'm ready to go. You play the music.
All right.
It's a hard day, Steve!
Meme corner. All right, let's get the meme let's get the meme corner going. All right, I'll do it the full way. Fine. Meme corner. Yeah. Okay. It's the motherfucking. It's the meme corner. It's, you know, we're going to want to look at some memes. We're doing a segment called the meme corner here. Okay? All right, everybody. Yo, look at this meme. AJ Styles, be excited for Halloween. Got Mariah in the back. Very funny. Very funny.
I will say, All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey, one of my guys.
Wow, congratulations to you.
Great song. Great Christmas song.
I love that for you. All right, next meme, please. Next meme. Yo, this is fucking hilarious. Like, this have you ever seen something so fitting?
Perfect. Yeah.
So it says, gonna tell my kids that this was Sting and Darby Allin, and it's fucking Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. It's the guy who wrote it. I forget his name. You know, this is the guy who, like, made it.
Yeah.
And Tim Curry. Yeah. And Tim Curry's painted with Sting face paint, essentially, and the other guy just looks exactly like Darby Allin.
When's the last time you've seen this movie, Rocky Horror Picture Show?
This movie, the last time I saw this movie, I haven't seen it in a long, long time, but I've seen it so many times.
It is hilarious.
I haven't seen it at
it
like
holds up.
This level it's of conscious adult. I saw it when my mom was very into it and my aunt really liked it.
Right.
And they would like sing like Sweet Transvestite and shit like when I was a kid and like, you know, like do the dance and everything. Yeah. And so I know it like so well, but I haven't watched it recently. Like I know it's I could tell you how it all goes, like Susan Sarandon and then the car gets pulled over and they just pull up to this mansion and then they do the fucking time warp. You know what I mean?
Right,
like I know the whole fucking
again.
Thing. They do it again. I mean, let's do it again, as a matter of fact. Then Meatloaf shows up on the motorcycle and they eat Meatloaf because, you know, his name's Meatloaf, so why not eat him? And then the fucking mummy guy shows up, who's really hot, and Tim Curry's trying to bang him, and Tim Curry's, you know what I mean? I know the whole thing, but I haven't seen it. Like I actually tonally, I would love to watch it because I don't have the feel of it in my head, if that makes sense.
It's great, yeah. It really holds up. I watched it like last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next meme, please.
Great meme.
That meme is so ridiculous. So funny. Oh, look at this. Oh, it's, you got to scroll down. But basically, it's the Lord of the Rings, right? Like the Fellowship.
Yeah.
Or is this Game of Thrones?
It's Fellowship.
Okay. And they're all putting their swords in, and it's like all the fans of every promotion all saying in the middle, it says, The Miz should play Johnny Cage. Everybody, all wrestling fans are in unison about The Miz playing Johnny Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so funny in the Facebook group. Someone was like, he's not even, like, he doesn't have any fucking martial arts training. I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, you know, acting works. They train you. Like, you think fucking, you know what I mean? Like, he should play Johnny Cage. It'd be really fun.
I can feel my brain leaking out of my asshole right now. Like
who's going to play Johnny Cage? It's going to be more fun than the old Mizzo.
I don't know, but he better be a black belt IRL.
Hollywood Hunk is also a good contender for Johnny Cage.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I would love both those guys as Johnny Cage. Anyway. All right, next meme.
Hollywood Hunk, black belt, and Hapkido. I don't think I have
that many more. We have one more? Oh, well, this I just want to talk about. Did you? So this is the SmackDown I went to. So they SmackDown did a longer segment today, I think, just to eat into Rampage this week, right?
Yeah.
And so Tony Khan said on SmackDown's final 30 minutes being commercial free, said, I can do that too. It doesn't seem very civil, but I have more money than they do, so I can afford to do that longer than they can. I mean, is Tony Khan fully getting, he's getting it to full on.
Yeah.
Full on's Vince zone now, right?
I love.
Yeah.
I love the fucking the turn of phrase here. It doesn't seem very civil,
right?
But I have more money than it's very Trumpian,
right?
Right, like I can do that too. It doesn't seem civil, but and then says something completely uncivil. It's like perfect.
Exactly. It's yeah. He's like he's trying to be like yeah. He's trying to have it both ways. There. He's right. Like he has to just. But all he has to do is be the good guy compared to Vince, which is a very low bar. Like
easy.
I mean, all he's got to do is be like show any kind of compassion, and then you know what I mean. And then he's
right.
Fine.
Well, the high watermark. Right. The high watermark currently is like holding a match in a country where they be you know where journalists are killed by order of the king. So. That's a pretty high watermark for Tony Khan to climb to be the world's biggest asshole.
He'll get there. He'll get there.
I know. I believe in him.
Yeah. You think that Tony Khan would turn down $300 million to do a show over there?
I don't know.
I think he would because it might just make sense for him. Right. So do we have a Masvidal match set up? What are they doing with that?
Oh, with that. With
Jericho. Is there an actual match? Oh, they're doing the five-man tag. That'll be, I think, maybe next week on TNT. Yo, it's fine. On Dynamite, that's fun. Listen, the American
Top
Team.
Can I bring something up about that?
Yeah.
I get very uncomfortable with UFC getting involved in wrestling because I feel like it doesn't bring the right people to the product. Like, it's just going to bring UFC people that are going to shit on it. It's not going to bring new fans, you know?
Right.
Right. Well, I mean, I would say this is that I think what they're doing is pretty cool. I'm definitely liking the whole segment on it, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see for that, you know?
I think, though, that the paradox is that I think all the athletes in MMA are not all, but most of the athletes in MMA are probably marks. And the fans of those athletes are not.
Right. That's my point, yeah.
You know.
Anyway, folks.
Is that the last meme? It's not a meme?
That's the last meme, yeah. It's not a meme, that one. I just wanted to look at that. Yo,
do we have that video, Phil, of Malakai Black blocking a punch with a kick and then kicking him in the face with that same foot?
Do we have it?
We have it.
I got it, yeah.
We have the footage. Here it is.
Oh, shit. Let me see. Oh, by the way, Malakai back in the trunks.
Bing, bing. Let's see it. Roll it back. Ready? Okay. Block kick.
Oh, yeah. That's
what
so
the
sick.
Fuck, man? Like, this goes to our point that we're making all the time where, oh, beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I didn't even notice that. You have to watch it in slow-mo. He kicks the arm.
Yeah. But that goes to the point that we're always making where it's like, this is like a broader point about wrestling where it's like, you know, you watch a Marvel movie and you have like a Scarlett Johansson body double flipping around, kicking people and stuff. And here's this guy in real life of course it's, you know, choreographed, but it's like that level of fight stunt work live.
Yeah, it's fucking great. I mean, those are two guys who can go at it. I just want to give props to Sammy Guevara quick.
Okay.
Who,
even though he said I'm going to beat y'all's asses.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lame. Sorry. His promo sucked ass.
Yeah.
I will say that. I was actually like, man, like this guy's so good, but that what a like that's all you got? I was like, say like eat a dick salad or something. Like say something fucking like come up with a catchphrase, right? Like it's pro wrestling. You know what I mean? It's like there's such a neglect to that shit. And I actually was talking to wrestlers last night and I was like, hey, I was talking to them about their promo training.
Yeah.
I won't say what company. I don't want to expose anything. But they were like, they explained to me they do get like a yes and lesson one time, you know? And then like that, and then that's pretty much like
that's all it takes. That's all it takes to master it.
And anyway, you're like Sammy Guevara. I mean, holy shit, can this guy go? I mean, is he was so fucking exciting in that segment. I mean, he can do that Spanish fly from the flat mat,
right?
In a way that's like insanity.
Yeah.
And also his taunt, the way he kips up and then like slowly comes up. I love that. He's fucking great. I would love to see him put on a little more size, you know, just to look a little beefier.
Get Eddie. All I'm asking is Eddie Guerrero size. Is Eddie, that too much to ask?
Well, Eddie was huge.
I know.
Eddie was like so juiced up.
I know.
Yeah. He was like 5'2", but he was like huge.
It is too much to ask, I guess.
Eddie Guerrero beat Brock Lesnar clean, bro. I mean, you know, by the way, not clean. He lies, he cheats, and he stole, you know? I mean,
right.
yeah. But holy shit, Sammy Guevara was fucking blowing my mind, like, with the when he was chaining spots. He's so fucking fun.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Big time.
Yeah, he's great. I back to CM Punk for a second, though. It is time for, like, let's get him going with Adam Cole or something. Like, does Punk have a match set for All Out yet or whatever the fuck, Full Gear?
I don't know.
Right? I don't think so. So it's like, I don't know why they don't want to get that going yet. You know, get him going. I don't know. Anyway, we'll see. Maybe they'll start something up next week. That'll be good. I would do that. But I did want to give props to Becky and Sasha, though, who did have a fucking sick match, like, live. They were killing it on SmackDown. They were beating the shit out of each other. They had a great match. All the false finishes were getting so much pop. They looked fucking awesome, you know? Still the thing when you're in WWE, you're like, you're still just blown away by the level of production over there is so fucking high. So, I know, we got the Crown Jewel coming up. It's going to be fun, but I mean, the card, there'll be good stuff on it. I'm going to watch Brock Roman. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch Brock Roman.
The Dirts are saying that, so there's a picture Punk. From like a press conference that, like Tony Khan was like photographed on the sidelines of a Jags game.
Oh, I saw that with the card, right?
Yeah, and so it looks like it's Wardlow versus CM Punk. Somehow,
really,
Moxley. Oh,
so then they're setting up for an MJF thing, Wardlow CM Punk. I mean, that's not a terrible match. I mean, I guess that's not a terrible match. I don't know.
And then Mox versus Danielson.
Oh,
which is man.
Why the fuck would he have that exposed?
Maybe it's on purpose.
He's gonna change up the card now. You know that he's gonna change it up. I don't think that was on purpose. I don't think that was on purpose. You know.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Because we didn't do a bonus episode last week, I'm gonna answer a couple questions before we get out of here. What do you say?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Because we got some questions in the Discord, by the way. These are patrons asking questions. Okay. We know you can't wear snake merch in San Francisco. What about Bullet Club merch?
No, I think.
Yo, here's the deal. Bullet Club merch.
Bullet Club merch just looks like militia merch.
I have no problem wearing it, though. Is that weird to me that I never... We always talk about this, but I never have any problem wearing it. I don't wear it anymore because it's less cool now. You know what I mean? Right. I don't wear it because it's a little, you know, It's a little out at this point, but Bullet Club merch is still. I never give a shit about any of that stuff. Wear whatever the fuck you want. What are you trying to offend?
You got the 3%ers, the Boogaloo Boys, the Bullet Club. Yeah.
How long until the Forbidden Door opens for women? Outside of AEW, NWA for a little bit, there really hasn't been much crossover. This is from Stu's Wood. That was, the first question was from Merch Maven. I think it's all match-based, right?
Real quick, Phil, cut that out. Maybe don't dox our listeners.
Why?
Saying bad? Her first and last name. Yeah.
What's wrong with that? You can't say people's names?
First and last? It's the internet, man. You got to be careful.
Okay. All right.
Not to harsh you, bro.
Yeah, how do you? How dare you harsh me? I think it's going to be match-based, right? Like, what? Like, I think it'll just be, is there a woman outside? Because, like, Thunder Rosa was hot, you know, outside of there. And I think that if there's a match they can do, they'll do it. You know what I mean? So I just think how long it's just going to be until a woman surfaces. Like, if they want to do, like, a Camille Brickhouse or, like, something from NWA, you know, like, they'll do it. I think it's all like what's best for Biz, you know, like what match they have.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not going to say who this is. Talking wrestling with a friend at a wedding yesterday. We ran down next AEW champions. Hangman beats Kenny. Thunder Rosa beats Britt Baker. We landed on either FTR or PNP to beat Lucha Bros. Who do you guys think dethrones those respective champions? All right. I think Hangman beats Kenny. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Britt Baker, I could definitely see Thunder Rosa doing it because they have that long-standing feud. So I think that's good. I'm with that also. It could also be Jade, but I think they're going to give her that TBS title. FTR or – why am I blanking on who PMP is? Who's PMP? I'm going to look it up. PMP, tag team. I mean, I'm going to feel like a complete idiot.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Santana and Ortiz?
Yeah.
Proud and Powerful. Oh, it's because they never fucking call themselves that, right? They never call themselves Proud and Powerful. Yeah. That could be very cool. I think they're due for a run, those guys, after Lucha Bros. But I think Lucha Bros got to have it for a while, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say Proud and Powerful, definitely. Santana and Ortiz. They're fucking crazy over. Those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Would the King of the Ring or Queen's Crown be more credible? There are 60 participants and vignettes for each participant, much like the Mae Young Classic. I love when someone you want to get your opinion, but you phrase it as a question.
Yeah.
That's your opinion, and I like that. And I think you're right. It should be more. Everything in WWE should feel more important, more prominent, you know, less cartoony. It should feel like big high stakes thing. The crown is always like Shinsuke's made it kind of silly with Boog and Hagen, right? So like, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know, yeah. Oh, that's interesting. They're saying that the King of the Rings finals is going to be at Crown Jewel and Sammy's not allowed to go there. So you know he's not going to win.
Oh.
I feel like with the King of the Ring, that's a good example of like a lot of things that WWE does. It's the fans used to be the ones that decided it was silly, and now WWE is deciding that it's silly.
Right.
Like they're like, this is silly off the bat. Like they do that with so much now. It's like it could be silly because you're not taking it to be silly.
Right. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. If you treat it like New Japan, all their tournaments feel so serious, you know?
Right.
So I like that. All right, last question.
It feels serious, but we're very aware of how silly that is, that it's serious.
Right.
Like that's, yeah, of course. That's the meta
of it. That's wrestling should be.
It's like all theater or whatever. It's like if the lights came up in the middle of fucking Phantom of the Opera, you'd be like, look at this idiot in the mask. You know what I mean? you can beat me up. You guys have to sell me on the theater of it. You know what I mean? You can't be like admit it's kind of stupid and for fun. Don't tell me anything's for fun. You know what I mean? I'll decide that it's fun. I'll have fun with it.
Exactly.
Right? Does Paige VanZant have a future at AEW? Do you see her being a future title holder? I don't know. I don't know how much she cares about wrestling, right? Like, she's there, but I don't know if she cares that much. Obviously, there's money. That's all going to be on her. Like, the reason Ronda was successful is because she actually respected and loved wrestling. So, that's it. Simple as that, right? it's up to her. She's got the star power. She's got the look. She's got the athleticism. So if Paige VanZant wants to fucking pop out of MMA and actually care about pro wrestling and not just like make a quick buck with it, then 100% she could be a champion, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's just going to be up to her. So, yeah, that's it. All right, folks. We didn't talk about CM Punk, you know, Seidel. I just want to point out that that match was a pretty good time. Matt Seidel is very good at wrestling.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're still waiting to CM Punk to, like, do something that's not just for fun, you know. But right. The finish was fun. That was, I think, his best GTS. So I think he's getting there. Yeah. That's it. All right, everybody. We're getting out of here. More details on the live show coming at you on the next week's podcast, I promise you. And go to the Patreon, join the Discord, support this podcast. We do it ourselves. Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Welcome Phil back to the zone. And hey, everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.